Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 6, starting in verse 14, through chapter 7, ending in verse 27. Sometimes in life, we are prone to ask God why. But as we grow in Christ and our walks with Him, we are able to trust Him by faith even without understanding why. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in chapter 6 of Leviticus.
That's cooler than any football game that's on in your living room, with you. When Jesus is there. That's cool. And that could be daily. God doesn't want His people to be all confused and discouraged and despondent and all out of it and all, I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and just acting like that. God said, this isn't necessary. Just get in my word and I'll speak to you. Don't let 3 days lapse. I'll tell you what, before we move on from this verse, I can't believe how messed up and depraved I am with how much time I spend in the Word. I can't imagine if I didn't spend this much time in the Word. I honestly really don't even watch TV unless it's SportsCenter. Well, I guess it's TV then, so I lied. See how depraved I am? But I only really watch SportsCenter, games, and Fox News, honestly. Unless there's some, I don't even know shows used for an example. I don't watch TV. I just don't. I have cable. I have no problem with it. None whatsoever. I'm just telling you, I don't even do it really. I don't listen to secular music. There's my own convictions. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just showing you right now. I'm making a fool out of myself right now. I'm telling you how much I try to live separate from this life and yet still how messed up I am. I don't listen to secular music. I listen to strictly 99.7 and sometimes Caleb, but I want to throw up usually after a half hour, so I go back to 99.7. I'm just being honest. And I don't hang out with any unsaved people unless I'm witnessing or trying to be a discipler to them, if they've just gotten saved. And I'm still this wretched. I couldn't imagine if I took a 3-day sabbatical every week. You don't want that. And I certainly don't want that. And as much as you need me as the pastor of this church to be spirit-filled and entrenched in the Word of God, I need you to be the very same. As much as you, for a lack of better terms, are dependent on any giftings that God has given to me to minister to you, I am equally dependent upon your prayers. I am equally dependent upon your spiritual growth to encourage me as I encourage you. We need each other as the body of Christ. So if anything, you won't do it for yourself, do it for us. Because Jesus is saying this 3-day off thing, 2-day off thing, every other day thing is not going to work. So don't do it. I don't even like it, he said. If any of the flesh, verse 18, of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all, on the third day it shall not be accepted. I'm not good with it. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offers it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth it shall bear his iniquity. Many scholars say that the sentence was death. Pretty extreme. And the flesh, verse 19, that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh, verse 20, of the sacrifice of the peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, verse 21, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing as the uncleanness of man or unclean beast or any abomination, unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord, verse 22, he spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat. And the fat of the beast that dies of itself and the fat of that which is torn with beasts may be used in any other use, but you shall not eat it. This is 3,400 years ago. And even then, God is saying, fat isn't good for you. Stay away from it. This is always God's heart. I hit this every time we hit this part of the scripture in Leviticus. God will never hold anything back from you that is profitable for you. If God says he's off limits, if God says she's off limits, if God says it's off limits, it's only because he loves you. It's only because he's trying to protect you most of the time from yourself. He's not trying to keep you back from something that's going to benefit you or bless you. He's trying to keep you from something that's going to lead to the destruction of you if you don't stay away from it. And he warns us, and he warns us, and he warns us. And he puts the words on the pastor's tongue to speak so that you hear it as a cockadoodle-doo, as a rooster crowing, just like Peter. And he's saying, listen, I know how weak you are, Peter. You are going to deny me three times. Oh, no, Lord, not me, never. Yes, you are. You know, Lord, you couldn't be further from the truth here, Lord. You don't understand. Even if these other cowards do it, even if these other guys that you call to be your apostles do it, I will never do it. Oh, Peter, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I'll never do it, God. Do you know this man? No. Cockadoodle-doo. Do you know this man? No. Cockadoodle-doo. And that rooster crowing, reminders, you're depraved, you're weak. I know you better than you know yourself. It's not good for you. Stay away from it. Peter, you're warming your hands by the fire. It's only a matter of time. You're doing exactly what I said in Psalm 1 not to do. You're not supposed to stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. You're doing these very things and you're going to fall and you're going to blow it. No. Yes. You tonight. God's saying this is fat. It's going to kill you. Fat leads to heart attacks. Fat leads to high cholesterol. It's going to ruin your health. God's saying, listen, you keep eating of this fat in your life. You keep calling this person, going out with these people, drinking that drink, taking that drug, going to that place, cheating that way, playing that game. You keep it up. Eventually, in some way, destruction is going to come to your life. You're going to have a spiritual heart attack. I'm the great physician. I'm giving you the prognosis. I'm giving you the diagnosis. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to make it. Put it on the altar. Sacrifice it to me. That's mine, God says. I don't have cholesterol problems. I don't have heart issues. Just give me the fat. Trust me. I know it tastes good initially, but once you digest that, you can't even digest that. Once you swallow that and it gets into your system, it's poison. Man, sin's poison. Sin's serious. That's why we're taking the time. That's why the author here, Moses, who's inspired by God's Spirit, is going through everything we just learned in the first five chapters. Because he's saying, I want you to understand the severity of sin. Sin's serious. And consecration is costly. And in order to be consecrated, which means to be set apart unto the Lord and have this Spirit-filled, abundant life, you have to understand the price that was paid for you. Stop taking sin lightly, church. Listen to me. Really, please listen to me right now as I'm speaking. Sin is serious. You don't have a handle on it. You don't have everything under control. You have a rooster that's crowing tonight, and God is saying, look to me. Before you're looking back at me like Peter did and having to be crying like a baby because you blew it and you didn't listen. God is saying, let me guide you with my eye tonight. Look to me. I lead with my eye. Let me lead you tonight. Blessed is the man who stands not in the way of the sinner and sits not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and his leaves will not wither. There'll be fruit. You're going to prosper. But cut the fat off. Cut the person off. Cut the gains out. Enough's enough, God's saying. Sin is serious. Sin is severe. Sin is dangerous, and consecration is costly. You don't have all the time in the world. That's the biggest lie that the church has accepted. We have time. No, the Bible says redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Every day that God gives to us is another day of grace. It's another day of his mercy to be lived for him, not for yourself. Don't misunderstand the long suffering of God as him being patient for you to meander and to mingle and sin still. No, it's for you to get right with him so he can use your life finally. Your consecration, the ability to be that, is costly. He gave his all so that you can have this life. Cut it out. Cut it off. Get rid of it tonight, God's saying. I don't want to just be your Savior. I want to be your Lord, Jesus says. That convicts me every time I go past this portion. Clearly, it's something we need to hear. I think we need to understand. We're not worried about how much further we get. We need to understand something tonight. And it's something that is not going to be new to you churchgoers. It's not going to be something that, oh, wow, that was crazy insight. It wasn't the Jews that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the Romans that put Jesus on the cross. It was you. And it was me. We were the nails that were driven through his wrists and his feet. We were the cause for him staying there, not responding to the taunting of those who were there watching and seeing this event take place of him being crucified, saying, if you're really God, come down from there. What held him there was us. He died for us because of his love for us. Sin is serious. Sin is severe, and God is saying, I want you to deal with it tonight. I find it interesting here that he says in verse 24 again that the fat of the beast that dies of itself and the fat that which is torn with the beast, it can be used in any other way used. But you in no wise shall eat of it. I don't want you to make any provision to eat of it. Look what he says here again with that last sentence here. He says, listen, it could be used in any other use. Other people, other churches, other pastors might not be teaching this. They're not going to call certain things sins. God's saying, I don't want you to compare yourself to the use of it in other people's lives. I don't want you to say, but pastor, I was at the Father's house last weekend, or I was down the road at this Baptist church or this Assembly of God church, and I was, you know, nothing. No, we covered the same portion of scripture. No one said anything about this. And, you know, why are you so big on this, like, holiness thing? And why are you talking about things, man? This is the 21st century. People live together before they're married, and people have sex. How am I supposed to know if I want to be with this person forever? And I could have a drink, man. There's, hey, don't you know? All things, yeah, I can. What's your deal? Why are you being so extreme? God's saying, hey, listen, that might be the case. That might be going to other camps. But God's saying in this camp, you're not to have any dealing with it in any way. No way, shape, or form. Nothing. No compromise. I want a complete, trim piece of meat at Calvary Chapel Westside. Because see, what God's going to do at Calvary Chapel Westside is unique to and different from any other work or church in this area. Because this is the work that God's doing here right now. And if we want all that God has for us, then we have to respond to the call that he has on us. That's between them and the Lord. I don't know what other pastors are teaching. I don't know what other congregations are doing. I don't know what other people, but Jesus said those things, those people, those works are not your standard. I'm your standard. And I'm calling you guys as a church here to have no form of compromise. To be emptied of all things that are displeasing to me. I don't care if other churches are doing smoke machines and light shows and concerts and no word. See, as God deals with every person individually, I believe he also works that way with churches. I'm talking to you guys as a local church tonight. He wants us to raise the bar. See, I think this, personally, and we're going to stop here. We're not going to go past this point tonight, so you don't have to worry about me trying to finish this chapter. I'd much rather hear from the living word than rush through the written word. I think this. I think as we're in the end times and in the last days, that we are going to see the church be less and less of what the church is supposed to be. And I think what a privilege it would be to be a witness, not just to the lost and to the fallen world, but to the church. I think what a beacon of light it could be if we could be something or someone that the church looks to as a whole and says, there's something different going on over there. Something different's going on. The people that fellowship there, they're Christians, but Christians like I've never seen before. They're really lean Christians. They don't fat in their lives. We're Christians too, but when we say let's go to happy hour with these folks, they won't go. And when we say let's go to a movie with these people, they won't see it. And we say let's have a drink with these people, they won't partake of it. And when we say we're going to be around these types of people, they won't have none of it. There's something different going on at Calvary Chapel of the West Side, even unique to what's going on at other Calvary chapels. And what we want people to see and what we want to be known for, noticed, is we're Spirit-filled. That the Spirit of God is here. That the Spirit of God is acting. That the Spirit of God is alive and well, that he's not being grieved, that he's not being quenched, that sin is being called out on the table, that you're getting offended when you come to church, that I'm getting slapped around as I'm preparing for Bible studies, that we are cutting off fat every single week. God brings it to our attention and we're putting it on the altar so that we can be that chaste virgin presented to our groom soon and very soon. I don't want to just be a witness to the community of lost souls. I want to be a witness to the church across the street. I want to be a witness to the church down the road. I don't want to just say, oh, yes, you're studying Ephesians. So are we. We got out of Leviticus. That was just too much. No, we're going through every portion of God's word. Well, you must have skipped those sections because you already covered them in the first five. No, we didn't. Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. But you already learned about that fat teaching. He did that a few weeks ago. Yeah, but it was there again. So God said that must mean we need to hear it again. That's why Jesus in the gospel said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, twice. Verily, verily, truly, truly. That's why he constantly repeated, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Because God needs us to listen up. We're stubborn. We're thick. We're hard-headed. And the message is simple. It doesn't change whether I'm in Leviticus, Ephesians, Philippians, or Galatians. It doesn't matter. The message is always the same. And it's about Jesus and what he's done for us and how he wants us to live. And the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And his standard doesn't lower. His standard doesn't change. It's consistent all the way through. The theme is the same all the way through. And what he expects of you and me as his people. So I would ask you, as we close this service, I'll invite the worship team up to lead us in a song. I would just ask you this, because we ended in sort of an awkward spot, to kind of recap this thing and to get some application to leave with tonight. Keep praying that that fire doesn't go out, first of all. Keep praying that God would keep you lit, hot for Jesus, that you wouldn't cool, that you would stay just radical for him, that you wouldn't become like the status quo Christian that's just kind of like, yes, I go to church, but I also am cool to go out with you too. Don't worry, man, I'm not one of those extreme Bible guys. But that you stay hot for Jesus. Then I would ask that you would constantly contemplate and consider all that Christ has done to atone for your sins. That you would ask the Lord to keep that fresh on your mind as we're journeying through these sacrifices that all ultimately, primarily point to him. That you would say, Jesus, Lord, as those priests had to make those sacrifices morning and night and all the ones that were in between, and it was always before them, blood was always around them, on them, Lord, I pray that I'd be constantly mindful of what you had to do so that I can be where I'm at, so that I can have this salvation. Lord, that my consecration was costly. That you'd be mindful of these things, that you'd have an appreciation for what Jesus has done. And then that you would have just an incredible, incredible sensitivity to the voice of God. It might be good for these other people. It might be okay in these other churches. But Lord, you said that I'm not to have anything to do with any of the fat. I'm going to live holy, Lord. Not just H-O-L-Y, separate, but holy. I'm going to be wholly set apart unto you. I'm going to be wholly yours, God. Not distracted. Not profane. Not common to the way everybody else is living, but separate. So that we can be a beacon of light. So that we can be an example of the believer to the believers of what Jesus requires of us. Micah 6:8, you all know it. I'll teach it to you now if you don't. You try to memorize it. It's a verse that should be our life verse. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord does require of thee. Do you know the rest? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Can we all say that together? He has shown thee, O man, what the Lord does require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.